This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most gracious, most merciful. All praise is indeed due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Blessings and salutations upon all those who have come from the beginning right up to the end, who were sent by the Almighty to guide us, to show us the goodness. We ask the Almighty to bless every one of them, to grant them every form of blessings, and on top of that, to bless every one of us who are gathered here today. And we ask the Almighty, oh, that sounds much better, mashallah. We ask the Almighty to bless those who brought this microphone to me as well, mashallah. My brothers and sisters, it's indeed a blessed day. When we speak about building bridges in the Philippines, I was told that here in the Philippines, we go beyond building bridges because we actually build a skyway. And what happens is that skyway links one place to another directly. How many of us are linked to one another directly? So let's take a page from that and try and learn a lesson. We ask the Almighty to make us from those who can communicate. For indeed, communication with one another is something that will definitely help you and I and humanity at large, and it will make the world a much better place. Those who dislike one another, a lot of the times it's connected to lack of communication. We have not interacted, we have not spoken to each other. So there is always this feeling that the other is so different that I will never be able to get along with them. And yet that is false. The Almighty has kept us such that the root is all one. Listen to what He says. Ya ayyuha an-nas inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha. O people, I have created you from a single male and female. That's what the Almighty is saying. O people, I have created you from a single male and female. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا. And I have created you as peoples and tribes in order that you may recognize one another. The diversity that the Almighty has chosen for us is in order for us to recognize one another. Not in order for us to become racist or tribalist, or in order for us to be harmful or to harm the other who might be different from us or think low of him or her. So much so that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, reiterated this. He confirmed it by saying, those who treat others differently because of their race are actually astray. Those who treat others differently because of their color, because of where they come from, are astray. لا فضل لعربي على عجمي ولا لعجمي على عربي ولا لأبيض على أسود إلا بالتقوى. There is no virtue of an Arab over a non-Arab, or a non-Arab over an Arab, or a white over a black, except by piety, God consciousness, and that is known solely by the Almighty. So you and I need to learn a lesson that those who are from the north or the south or the east or the west, not only of our country but of the globe, they are my brothers and sisters. We come from one source. We come from Adam, and Adam was from dust. Dust meaning he was created from the soil. And just like he was created from the soil, every single one of us was created from the soil as well. My brothers and sisters, we should go back to where we came from, because without looking at where we came from, we will not realize and understand the connection that we have with one another. Building bridges is only possible when we realize that Adam, may peace be upon him, was a common father to every one of us. Eve, may peace be upon her, in the Arabic language, Hawa alayha salatu wassalam, she was indeed our common mother. And if you realize that, you will come to realize that indeed we are so closely connected. It's only as time has passed, we've become oblivious of this. Take a look at the origin. When Adam alayhi salam was created, what happened? He had several children. According to one of the narrations, he had children, his wife gave birth 20 times. Wow, that's quite a bit, mashallah. 20 times, each time she had twins. One male, one female. They were connected in a beautiful way, but unfortunately the devil came to Cain and asked him to harm his brother Abel. I'm sure we've heard this. It's in the Old Testament as well as the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about it. وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ ابْنَيْ آدَمَ بِالْحَقِّ إِذْ قَرَّبَا قُرْبَانًا فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ قَالَ لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ. Recite for them the story of the children of Adam when they had dedicated their sacrifices for the Almighty. One was accepted and the other was not accepted. So the one whom it was rejected from told the other, I'm going to kill you. That's what is mentioned about the children of Adam, Abel and Cain, subhanAllah. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the one says to the other, I'm going to kill you, because he became jealous. He was possessed by the devil. And from this we learn that those who want to harm the children of Adam, they are possessed by the devil. They are following a satanic path, a path that is not the path of goodness. Because from the beginning, the Almighty says that this son of Adam, when he stretched his hand out to harm his brother, he was already going against the command of the Almighty. So let's continue with those verses. When the brother heard this, he was shocked, because these were the first of the species of mankind. He was shocked and surprised. What is my brother going to do to me and why? Many people, when they're being harmed, they don't know, why are they harming me? You know, the Prophet, peace be upon him, says, one of the signs of the end of times is people will be killing each other without knowing why they are doing that. The one who is being murdered won't know, why did this happen? And the one who did the act or committed the crime won't even know, why am I committing it? Wallahi, we have arrived at a stage where across the globe, the value of life has become so cheap that subhanAllah, today we are standing here in order to try and regain that value, to make it known to one and all that life is absolutely sacred, no matter whose it is. It is a brother of yours, a sister of yours, so much so that the creatures of the Almighty, the life given to them is absolutely sacred as well. Even if they're animals or birds, we are not supposed to go out and harm destructively. Similarly, when it comes to other life, such as trees and plantation, the ecosystem, we as believers should not harm or damage the ecosystem. We are not allowed to destroy the forests. The deforestation that takes place without reason is something that is not godly, because we are destroying what the Almighty has placed for our own benefit. So my brothers and sisters, this son of Adam, when he stretched his hand to harm his brother was surprised. And his brother says, لَئِن بَسَطْتَ إِلَيَّ يَدَكَ لِتَقْتُلَنِي مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِطٍ مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِطٍ يَدِيَ إِلَيْكَ لِأَقْتُلَكَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. If you are going to stretch your hand to harm me, I am not going to stretch my hand to harm you, because I fear the Lord of the worlds. My brothers and sisters, from this I learned that if I were being harmed by someone, I need to make sure that I fear the Lord of the worlds. My reaction and retaliation should not be making the problem bigger by reacting in a harmful way. We need to know this. Yes, to begin with, it was wrong to harm anyway. So if we are taught that to defend yourself is permissible, but in a way that would not result in greater chaos, what I need to know is to harm someone from the beginning is even more dangerous. It's more wrong. So he says, I fear the Lord, therefore I am not going to harm you. SubhanAllah. I fear the Lord, therefore I'm not going to harm you. What a powerful message. Those who harm others, they do not fear the Lord. This is proven from the verse that I've just read to you now. Thereafter, the story continues. The devil possessed Cain so much that he executed the plan. And then the Almighty says, فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ النَّادِمِينَ. He became from among those who regretted it. You see what the devil makes us do? He makes us harm one another. And this harm starts off by a statement, by saying something. This is why I want you to promise me, my brothers and sisters, if you really want to build bridges, you need to protect your tongue from vulgar words, harmful words, abusive words, those words that cause hurt. You need to protect yourself from all of that in terms of words. Only utter that which is good, that which is upright, that which is filled with care and love. And then you will be able to build the bridges in the correct way. And in fact, if we were to protect ourselves from harmful words and only utter words that are good, we will definitely save ourselves from violence. Because violence is the next stage. May the Almighty grant us protection. This man became regretful of what he did. And that's what Satan does. What he does is, he makes us do something bad. And then we regret to say, I shouldn't have done that. Well, too late. The Almighty says, مِنْ أَجْلِ ذَلِكَ. Because of that action of Cain, we have prescribed from the beginning, كَتَبْنَا عَلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ أَنَّهُ مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ أَوْ فَسَادٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَا النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. We have prescribed upon the children of Jacob from the beginning that if you have harmed another, taken the life of another, if you have taken the life of another unjustly, it is as though you have destroyed entire humanity, because that life is sacred. The Almighty has given the life. Who am I to take it away? The Almighty is all powerful. He can take away those whom He wills, and He does. People die. You and I know. Why don't you bear patience? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us pass our tests. My brothers and sisters, then the Almighty says immediately after that, whoever has saved a single life is equivalent to the one who has saved entire humanity. Because it shows that you care. It shows that you care. If I save one life, and Allah did not say the life of a Muslim. No, He uses the term life. Any life, Muslim, non-Muslim, whoever it is, tall and short, black and white, from the east or the west, the north or the south, that becomes irrelevant. When it comes to saving lives, it is indeed the duty of every one of us to save entire humanity by saving every single life that we have been given the opportunity to save. May Allah grant us an understanding. So my brothers and sisters, look at what Allah is saying. Whoever saves a life is as good as saving entire humanity. Let me take you to a story that I love repeating, and I've been repeating it for the last 5 years or more. The story of a man mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, wherein he says, there was a man in the desert on a very hot day, walking, and he was absolutely thirsty in search of water. And he found a well. And as he found that well, he decided to go down into it because there was something wrong with the bucket, or the bucket was not there. When he went down into the well, he drank as much water as he needed and he came up. When he came up, he saw a dog. He saw a dog that was panting profusely with thirst. It was so thirsty, it started licking the dust in search of water. So he says to himself, لَقَدْ بَلَغَ هَذَا الْكَلْبْ مِنَ الْعَطَشِ مِثْلَ مَا كَانَ قَدْ بَلَغَ مِنِّي. He's looking at the dog and he says, you know, I think this dog is as thirsty as I was before I went into the well. But obviously he thinks to himself, the dog is not going to be able to go down into the well, and it's not going to be able to bring water or drink for itself because of how the well is. So he decided, out of compassion for a dog. Out of compassion for a dog. He decided, you know what? I'm going to go down and I'm going to go and fetch water. But because I don't have a cup or a bucket or a utensil to bring up the water, I'm going to use my shoe and fill it with water. Wow. Take a look at your shoes, my brothers and sisters. Would you fill your shoes with water? I don't even think you'll do it for a human being. May Allah forgive us. May Allah forgive us. Our shoes have become too precious for us. Don't worry, the Mall of Asia is around the corner. You can buy yourself another pair by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This dog was then, subhanallah, quenched in terms of its thirst by a man who filled his own shoe, came up, got close to the dog. And you and I know, when it comes to Islam and when it comes to our rules and regulations, the relationship we have with the dog is governed by some rules, some regulations perhaps. So it's not easy for anyone to just, you know, make friends with dogs here. But a stray dog, something that perhaps one might argue may be diseased, possible. But the man says, no, I need to help this dog. Do you know what the Prophet Muhammad says? The Almighty loved this man's compassion towards a creature of the Almighty so much that he was forgiven and granted a place in paradise. Granted a place in paradise. Now the question I have for you, my brothers and sisters, this was a bridge that was built between mankind and the other species, the other creatures of the Almighty, in this case a dog. What do you think the reward would be for a person who reached out to a fellow human being? Human being, not belonging to your faith, not belonging to your race, not inclined in your direction, but you reached out to someone who was a creature of the Almighty of the same species. And this is why the verse that I commenced with, the Almighty says, "Inna akramakum 'indallahi atqakum." The most honored from amongst you in the eyes of the Almighty is the one who is most conscious of the Almighty Himself. Because the Almighty is the one who made all of you. I need to be most conscious of my Maker. So if you really have consciousness of the Almighty, you will be conscious of the fact that all the others on earth are creatures of the same Almighty. Just like I think I'm special, they all are special. And if you think that as a believer, the rest of the people are your enemies, you are actually wrong. Your duty and mine is to showcase what you believe in a way that people realize, number one, this person is really upright. This person really teaches and promotes that which is good. And number two, perhaps they may want to join you. If they do, it's in the hands of the Almighty. If they don't, they are still your brothers and sisters in humanity. Remember that. They still come from the same source. So as much as you will propagate the goodness that you have, you need to realize and understand guidance is in the hands of the Almighty. What you may term as guidance, perhaps another might not see the light, but their answer is with the Almighty, the Maker. He has kept a day of judgment to judge the people. But unfortunately, we tend to judge people on a daily basis. When Allah says, "Maliki yawmid din," He is the owner of the day of judgment. Who? The one who made you. He's the owner of the day of judgment. Why should I have a little day of judgment every day where I'm judging this one, judging that one, claiming that that one is in hell and this one is in heaven when I am not even the owner of heaven or hell? May the Almighty grant us all Jannah and Paradise. Ameen. So my brothers and sisters, the Almighty tells us the most honored from amongst you are those who are most conscious of the Almighty. And He says this at the end of the verse where He speaks of the origin of man and the fact that you have been created in a diverse way from one source so that you can recognize one another. Again, another point that I constantly repeat is one of the blessings of the Almighty is He has made us diverse, different. Sizes, shapes, races, nationalities, etc., etc. Because if we were all the same and we all looked exactly identical, and that is very possible for the Almighty, we would not be able to recognize one another or identify one another. Imagine everyone looks the same. You would not know who is standing in front of you here right now. You wouldn't know. I would probably have a number, a long number, you know, maybe a few letters, and just like the number plate of a motor vehicle. May Allah forgive us. But it's a fact. Then I take you to another beautiful verse of the Quran, Surah An-Nisa. The chapter named after the women. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off by reminding us, O man, and it's not just O Muslim, the address is O mankind. Ya ayyuhan nasu, O mankind. And he's reminding us about something absolutely important.
اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله.
He says, O people, be conscious of your maker. اتقوا ربكم. رب means the one who made you, the one who nourishes, cherishes, provides, protects, cures, the one in whose hands lies every aspect of existence. Be conscious of him. اتقوا ربكم. Be conscious of your maker, who has created you from a single male, a single soul. And from that soul, he has created its spouse. And from the two of them, he has caused a multitude of you to spread the entire earth. So be conscious of your maker. I want to pause there for a moment, because it goes to show that those who are truly conscious of their maker are truly conscious of the origin of every one of the same species. The common origin. If you are constantly thinking of the common origin of man, you are truly conscious of your maker. And if you look at this verse, the opening verse of the chapter of the women, the Almighty says two times, be conscious of your maker, be conscious of the Almighty. And you know what he says thereafter?
وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ.
Be conscious of your Lord, whose name you use when you swear an oath. When you swear an oath, whose name do you use? You use the name of your maker. Have you ever thought, why do I use the name of my maker when I want people to believe me? Because I'm telling them I care for you enough to tell the truth here, because we are both from the same maker. So I won't lie to you right now. Wow. That's why we take an oath in the name of the one who made us. When we say, Wallahi, what makes it so big for me to be able to believe the person? I swear by God. I swear by the Almighty. I swear by Allah. Why do we use that? The Almighty says, be conscious of the one whose name you use when you take an oath for one another to believe you, and be conscious of your relatives. Al-Arham means relatives. Why does Allah say relatives? Because just before that, He spoke about the fact that you are all related. So be conscious of your relatives, those who are closer and then those who are distant. Subhanallah. So if you are not conscious of your relations and the fact that you all come from one male and one female, you cannot be truly conscious of the Almighty. You have not developed an understanding. When we look at those who don't believe, for example, do we look at them with an eye of hatred, or with an eye that, subhanallah, this person is a potential believer, and I am going to make sure that I showcase this religion or the belief that I have in a way that they understand that indeed it comes from the Almighty. That which comes from the Almighty is filled with love, not hate. That which comes from the Almighty is filled with justice, not injustice. That which comes from the Almighty is filled with goodness, not with bad. That which comes from the Almighty is filled with contentment, and it is never ever a means of destruction within a human being. You can recognize a message that is from the Almighty from a message that is from the devil. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. It does not need a rocket scientist to know that the soft words, the words of beauty, are from the Almighty. And the hard, harsh words are not from the Almighty. Where do we get this from? Look at what the Almighty tells the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَظًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ.
It is because of the mercy of the Almighty that you are so lenient towards those around you. Had you been hard-hearted and harsh, they would have dispersed from around you. When you are hard-hearted and harsh, people don't want to listen to you. People don't want to look at you. People don't want to know you because your message is wrong. It does not inspire man to do good. When you are harsh and hard, even in your own relations, in your home, you need to build bridges by protecting yourself from being hard and harsh. Oh, my mothers and fathers who are seated here today, and those who may listen to this later on, remember, if you want to have the greatest impact in your own house with your children and relatives, you need to eradicate the harshness and the hard-heartedness that may be overtaking you. You need to be polite, you need to be calm, you need to be a person who says good, beautiful, loving, kind words filled with calmness and goodness. And this is what the Almighty teaches us. So my brothers and sisters, let's not be deceived. Allah says that if you were from among those who are hard-hearted and harsh, they would have dispersed from amongst you. But a sign of the mercy of the Almighty is that you are lenient. How many of us show leniency? I think some people believe that when you are religious, you have to be harsh. So if someone greets you, you just look at them. Because I'm religious. That is the furthest away from religion. You never ever turn your cheek away. Look at what the Almighty warns us. وَلَا تُصَعِّرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. Don't ever turn your cheek away from people in arrogance, and don't walk on earth in an arrogant way. That's the advice in Surah Luqman that the Almighty tells us. When you are really religious and godly and close to the Almighty, you are humble. You have a good expression on your face to begin with. When people look at you, they feel calm. They feel a sense of ease. You don't have to frown. If you're a believer, you become more conscious of the expression on your face. So if you would like to build bridges, make that expression a good expression. How many times people look at us and we are looking a bit sad, or we are preoccupied with something, a lot of the cases with our phones, and they just look at us and they think, wow, what a hard person, what a harsh person. If you were to look up and just smile, even if you have the Filipino braces, it's fine, you know, subhanallah. You can just smile, it still looks okay, doesn't it? MashaAllah, tabarakallah. By the way, I learned about it in the Philippines, MashaAllah. When I saw a lot of people with these braces, but mine for medical reasons, alhamdulillah. May Allah grant us goodness and ease. It shows you that I love you, right? MashaAllah. So if you were to smile, even if you didn't have teeth at all, I think you would break the ice. You would build bridges just by a smile. So the Prophet Muhammad says, peace be upon him, tabassumuka fi wajhi akhika sadaqa. To smile at the face of another is actually an act of charity.
Wow.
Why? He wants you to build the bridges. He wants you to love one another, to show one another the goodness you have. If we are the same of the same faith, we still need to get along with our differences, because sometimes within Muslims themselves, we have differences. But those differences should never ever make you be vulgar, harmful, hurtful, or violent. The same applies with humanity. We will have differences, just like I have the right to be what I believe I should be. The rest of the people, I must understand, have exactly the same right. And if I don't understand it, I have not understood the Almighty's plan. And they will choose. And that's why Allah says, La ikraha fid deen. There is no compulsion when it comes to entry into the faith. You cannot force someone to believe what you believe. That is the verse of the Almighty. He has the right, you have the right. The Almighty will decide on the Day of Judgment who was right and who was wrong. You continue believing and doing good and learning and preaching and propagating, and they will do exactly the same. And you know what? You need to get along with each other, because you are on earth by the choice of the Almighty and not by your choice. I'm not here because I want to be here. I'm here because the Almighty placed me on earth. And the same with you. And the same with those whom you may not agree with. But never ever should any difference within humankind make you become vulgar and hurtful. I told you moments ago, that is not the sign of a believer. Listen to the Prophet, peace be upon him. He says, a true believer is never vulgar. A true believer never utters deceitful words, never utters a lie, never utters that which is hurtful, harmful, that which will cause a problem. No. We don't slander, we don't even backbite. That's what the Almighty says. The Almighty says, don't even speak behind someone's back in a way that if they were present, they would not like it. Or if they heard about it, they wouldn't like it. Imagine, that's the extent to which our faith goes. And we are here today to build bridges. Every quality I'm mentioning, if we were to take heed, we would build skyways upon skyways. Subhanallah. Bridges upon bridges. Because we love one another, seeing that we come from one mother and one father. Yes, we will have differences. And it's normal to have differences. But the winner is he or she who knows how to manage the difference. Who knows how to handle it. You don't need to become vulgar and abusive. And you never, ever need to become violent. You never need to take the life of another away, no matter how much you disagree with them. What did you learn from the story of Abel and Cain that I mentioned earlier? What did you learn from that? If you did not learn a lesson, then why was it mentioned in the Quran? Is it there for no reason? It is there for a reason. Take a look at the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and how he stressed goodness to your neighbors, even if they are not Muslim. He says, you have to be kind to your neighbor. مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلَا يُؤْذِ جَارَهُ. Whoever believes in the Almighty and the last day, the day of judgment, should never harm their neighbor. Wow. When the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was asked about the neighbors, he explained whether they were Muslim or not. Wow. Some of us harm our neighbors who are our family members. We have no respect for ourselves. That is why we don't respect others. Those who don't respect others, in actual fact, they have not recognized who they are. They don't know who they are. They don't understand where they come from. And the common source that everyone comes from. So if you truly believe in Allah, and you truly believe in the Day of Judgment, you will never harm your neighbor. And who is your neighbor? It's not just the one who lives next to you, but perhaps even further than that, the one whom you interact with is also a neighbor. The one whom you work with, perhaps sitting next to you, perhaps those who are next to you in your suburb, in your city, in your country. And in that way, we reach out to the whole globe. We're all part and parcel of one big family. And in no ways am I saying you must give up what you believe. No. In no ways am I saying that you must compromise your faith. No. You will still pray the way you were taught. You will dress the way you were taught. You will eat according to the restrictions and whatever you are supposed to be doing. That is in terms of your dietary restrictions. And you will continue. But you will respect the rights of others. And you will understand that the only way we will grow as a nation is when there is peace, stability, security, goodness, calmness. And if I want, I can fulfill my duty to the Almighty by conveying the message to others that I feel is the upright message in several ways, not just in one way. Sometimes, just your honesty, your uprightness in business dealings, your character and conduct, sometimes just that much is enough for people to know you're on the right path. That's why Islam has stressed so much the issue of character and conduct. Let me explain. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was seated with his companions one day. And they asked him, O Messenger, we would like to know the characteristics of those who will be going into paradise. What are the characteristics of theirs? What are the qualities that would have taken them to paradise? He said, two things. The consciousness of the Almighty and the greatness of character and conduct. Wow. Did you hear that? You're conscious of your maker who made every one of you, and your character and conduct is absolutely amazing. When you pass people, greet them, acknowledge a greeting, smile at them, make them feel like we are part of a big family. That is how you will build the bridge, and that is how you will build the bridge to heaven, to Jannatul Firdaus. Because Jannah will never be achieved by arrogance. لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال حبة من خردل من كبر. He will not enter paradise in whose heart is a mustard seed's weight worth of arrogance. Never. If you're arrogant, the Almighty says, well, arrogant people are not allowed in heaven, so sort yourself out first. Cut out the arrogance. Humble yourself. No matter what you have, your authority, your popularity, your money, your position, your faith, whatever it is, don't let it make you arrogant. Understand that the others are in need of your good character and behavior, just like you are in need of their good character and behavior. We need to build a nation. We are on earth to build, not to destroy. Yet we are destroying because we've lost the way. We've lost the path. And for this reason, we are standing here today to say, my brothers and sisters, every one of us has a duty to build, not to destroy. Every one of us has a duty to build relationships, to build infrastructure, to build our nations, to develop ourselves, to be able to evolve, to come out of the darkness we were in and to come to the light. And that is the reason why we will continue speaking about building bridges. What we see happening across the globe in the name of religion is actually not religious at all. Religion does not teach you the killing of innocent people. No matter who is doing that killing, we who belong to God Almighty are against it. Religion does not teach you to harm others, to steal from them, to deceive them, to cheat them. All this is sacrilegious. It is something that is against the teachings of the Almighty. So we need to wake up. We need to understand it's my duty to positively contribute to humanity, to the creation of the Almighty. I recall another narration of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, regarding a woman who was punished by the Almighty because she was cruel to a cat. To a cat. Imagine a cat. How many of us are cruel to other human beings? May the Almighty grant us a deep understanding. So here we are, my brothers and sisters. We're all part and parcel of one huge unit, and we will promise that we're going to make sure every one of us plays our role. We need to play our role, and the message should spread far and wide. Some people think that, you know, in the name of religion, I need to shove this religion down the throats of everyone else, or I need to spread it with the sword. That was never ever the teaching of Islam. It was never the teaching of Islam. And it was never the teaching of faith. Those who do that in the name of faith are actually losing the path and the way. But rather, take a look at the example of this part of the world. Look at Indonesia, for example. Look at so many other countries where Islam has spread. Did it spread with the sword? No, it didn't. It spread with the goodness of character, goodness of conduct, the propagation in a positive way, not in a negative way. May the Almighty grant us understanding. This is why the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was on a very high level of character and conduct, in fact the highest. When his wife Aisha radiallahu anha was asked about his character, she says, "Kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an." His character was just embodiment of the Qur'an. That's what it was. His character was an embodiment of the Qur'an, which means you felt the spirituality as he walked, as he spoke, as he communicated. You felt that this person is indeed the messenger of Allah. You know, there was a Jewish rabbi at the time of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and he was known as Abdullah bin Salam. He says, I had read the scriptures about this messenger who was going to come, and I knew the signs from our scriptures. And when he came into Medina, And the people said, there is a messenger, there is a man claiming to be a messenger of God. I knew the signs, so I went to look. And there were people surrounding him, crowding him. And I tiptoed and looked at the top. I looked at his face and I saw, immediately I knew this is not the face of a liar. This is not the face of a liar. And the first words I heard him say, Ayyuhannas, O people, afshus salam, spread peace, spread salam. My brothers and sisters, salam, in every religion, it is used to greet another. In Islam, it's a little bit longer, but in other religions, the term peace is used, shalom is used. Why do we say the term peace, but we live a war? May Allah forgive us. Assalamu alaykum, may peace be upon you. That is actually a prayer. So the Prophet Muhammad is saying, spread peace, not only the greeting, but be genuine about it. What's the point of me saying, peace be upon you, but there is no peace neither in you, nor from you, nor around you? I need to do something to change that. So Abdullah bin Salam says, I heard the first word, O people, spread the salam and feed the poor, feed the needy, feed the food to those around you. Wow. That's an instruction from the messenger. How many of us are ready to feed others? How many of us are ready to feed others? Wholeheartedly, openly. Wasilul arhama. That message had to come. And oh people, maintain your family relations. And you know what? You will get to a point where you will realize that you are related to people you did not really know you were related to because you now found out. And that's why, as a Muslim, it's my duty to find out who my closest relatives are and how the circle becomes bigger and bigger. And it's best to know generations of your relatives so that you understand and realize, this is my family. This is a big family. I'm connected to half the world in a way that I know, and the other half in a way that I've learned but I didn't know. What that means is we come from one root. In fact, according to our scriptures, the Prophet Noah, may peace be upon him, when he was with his people, the Almighty caused the flooding to happen and everything and everyone was destroyed besides those in the ark. That's what we believe. And then the Almighty says, وَجَعَلْنَا ذُرِّيَّتَهُ هُمُ الْبَاقِينَ. From the people who were in the ark with the Prophet Noah, he was the only one who actually had children and offspring thereafter. According to that verse, we're all the children of Noah as well. We're all the children of Noah. The Prophet Noah, may peace be upon him, Nuh alayhi salam in the Arabic language, we're all his children. Subhanallah, doesn't that take us quite a few generations closer? We were meeting at Adam, now we know we're meeting at Noah. Imagine if your brother or sister from one mother, one father did something wrong. What would you do? Many of us have family members who are not Muslims. Many of us were not Muslims at a certain stage. It's not a matter of hatred, my brothers and sisters. That is far beyond. It's a matter of good concern. It's a matter of reaching out. It's a matter of understanding. So much so that when your parents are not Muslims, the Quran tells you, continue being kind to them, fulfilling their rights and serving them. For as long as they don't instruct you to do something evil or something against what the Almighty says, you must listen to what they have to say. Wow. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حُسْنًا. The Almighty has instructed you to be kind to your parents. And then later on in the verses, he says, even if they were not Muslim, you continue being kind to them. Wow. That's in the Quran. Why? It is because the Almighty chooses who your parents are and you don't choose them. So they were chosen as a test for you and I. Even right now. So my brothers and sisters, let's understand this. The Almighty is speaking about your parents. Your brothers and sisters fall in the same bracket where you are kind to them. You will fulfill their rights. Your neighbors, you fulfill their rights. When you work for people, they may be Muslim, they may not be Muslim. When people work for you, they may be Muslim, they may not be Muslim. You have to fulfill all of their rights. You will be kind. Where is the sense gone of those who claim that the religion teaches you to harm people of other faiths and inclinations or races? When you and I know that for centuries we've been working together, we have built nations together. At the time of the death of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, they looked for his armor. It was with a Jewish man because of a business deal that was done. Subhanallah. A Jewish man? Try saying that today. Subhanallah. Well, it's a fact. It's a reality. There was a business deal that was done between the Jewish man and the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, just prior to his death, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And when they looked for his armor, it was with this man. Amazing. We think we know better than the messenger. We allow people to contaminate our minds with an ideology that is not religious, not from Allah, it is not godly, it is not heavenly. It speaks for itself that it is brutal, it is unacceptable, it is divisive. It is my duty and yours to continue to spread goodness even in the face of negativity. Even if people think you are a vehicle of evil, you will continue spreading goodness until they will have to nod their heads and acknowledge that indeed they are speaking the goodness and the truth. They will have to nod their heads. We have a statement in the Arabic language that true virtue is that which even the enemies have to acknowledge. Someone who really doesn't like you. We know that Islamophobia is real. We know that it's happening across the globe. People ask, well, what should we be doing about it? My brothers and sisters, keep building bridges. Keep building bridges. And if someone has blown up a bridge with dynamite, you build it again. And you make sure that you build that bridge again and again. And you make sure that a day, or you will see that a day will come when people will appreciate your work and what you've done. Some people don't appreciate it immediately. But when they see the destruction of the bridges being blown apart, they will realize that those who are building these bridges are indeed noble people. They're indeed the ones who understand what the Almighty has sent us on earth for. So this is my message for you, my brothers and sisters. I have enjoyed my few moments with you here, and I hope that you have actually taken a little bit, inshallah, that you would be able to spread far and wide. I know it was quite somber. I know there were no jokes that I usually crack. But at the same time, when you're building bridges, it's hard work. It's very hard work. And therefore, it was quite serious. I pray that we can carry this message. I've been on a building bridges tour through a lot of countries across the globe. And we continue building bridges even in the face of those who think that we are not good. We will continue until they nod their heads, as I said. May Allah bless you all. May He bless us. May He grant us goodness. May we be able to build these bridges. May we understand the origin and the root of every one of us, the respect of all creatures of the Almighty. And may we be from among those who can make a difference on the globe, a positive difference, that which will definitely leave a mark and a legacy for those who follow, to be able to look at us and say, indeed our predecessors have done a good job. May Allah bless you all. Thank you so much. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.